Lockdowns resulting from the global COVID-19 pandemic have forced significant changes in our day-to-day lives. At the same time, the pandemic has demonstrated how adaptable and innovative we can be. I'm Neil Amato with the Journal of Accountancy. This J of A podcast takes an in-depth look at a new report from the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants and EY Saren. The report, called Human Signals, explores new patterns of behavior emerging from or accelerating out of this unique period. It offers actions that professional accountants can take to adapt to the uncertainty. The podcast will have three expert voices in two parts. In the first part will be Barry Melanson, CEO and President of the Association, followed by Joel Bailey, a director at EY Saren and an author of the Human Signals Report. In part two of the podcast about human signals, we will hear from Gretchen Pisano, an executive coach and consultant, about the practical applications of the report for leaders. Here's my conversation with Barry Melanson and then Joel Bailey. Joined on the podcast by Barry Melanson. Barry, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, I'm happy to be here. These are exciting times and interesting times and challenging times, everyone. So it's important that we explore all aspects of what's going on in the profession. And this is a very important one, that human aspect.
In what ways is this such a transformative time for the accounting profession?
You know, in the way I look at it is, this report is about, the human element. And so let's just step back and remind ourselves that even though we were in hyper change from a technology perspective to start with, the ultimate way the profession delivers value and helps society and has its purpose is because of its people. And people who have listened to me over the years always say, have heard me say that I have this incredible opportunity, this job, because I work for this collection of people who I don't think you can replicate anyplace else in society about how great the people are, how ethical and competent. And I think when we think about the impacts of today's world, the whole COVID environment, the economic challenges, it really is a reminder that what stays the same but maybe has to slightly evolve is our thinking related to the people and the challenges that they face. Because that's how they bring relevance and help really to the society as large. And really the purpose of the profession is about doing that, right? And if we even think about developed economies and underdeveloped economies, the existence of a successful profession of accountancy is always present with successful and developed economies. And so if we think about ourselves as wanting to have a renewed, environment, a renewed economy, our profession is going to be critical in getting to that point.
How can leaders identify opportunities for innovation and growth when there is so much uncertainty? And how does a report like the Human Signals Report play a role in that?
Yeah, I think you have to think about, obviously you have to think about opportunities. And you also, again, because the report focuses on this, is you have to think about the people inside. And so we have different generations in our profession. And we know that the younger generations are very purpose-driven. We know that older generations have a different perspective on entrepreneurism, which is actually reflected again in a newer generation. And so where I would start is, as I looked at new ways of doing things, and particularly if you're in a firm environment or you're in a management accounting structure in a company, is I really would see this as a chance to give opportunity to show their capabilities to a younger generation, to find new ways to meet the challenges and to bring their own passion about what's important in the world, particularly in a world of a pandemic, what's important in how the profession or how the services that you're designing can meet those objectives. And so it really, to me, is about when you talk about innovation, is sort of unleashing the thought processes of people, and the ideas will flow. And this environment, when people are predominantly working at home, there's no travel, and relationships feel much different, it's really a tool. The thinking about innovation is really a tool to give people their own personal meaning and their own personal accomplishments in this world.
So specifically on the topic of leadership effectiveness, you mentioned that relationships are just different now. How can they be effective when there is so much uncertain about what we're living in right now?
Well, you know, let's just say the collective workforce of the world today, we know that we have put them in a situation where they've had to adjust to change very rapidly, and that automatically creates some degree of stress. And so as leaders, I think you have to be about de-risking that, taking that stress away to the best that you can. And I think you have to talk about, you know, where the organization is headed and why the productivity can be there. I mean, one of the things that we did internally at the association was, you know, we said it's called work from home. And so we wanted to set the notion of you do have an obligation to work and to be productive. And, you know, that created a degree of normalcy is what we were trying to achieve in that environment, rather than everything being uncertain. You know, we expect you to be productive, and that's just like we expected you beforehand, before you were working at home. And relationships tie to that. You know, it is much easier in this environment to build on existing relationships, because you know the person, you know what's important to the person that you're dealing with. You've had other exchanges. There's a trust level that exists. Where I think the hard work is building new relationships, because that's important. It may have not been important the first 30 days or the first 60 days, but as this goes longer and longer, whatever your accountabilities are, you're required to build new relationships. And that is a much harder environment, and you have to work at it. You have to be intentional about it. You have to have allocated time in a virtual meeting that builds that knowledge base the same way that you would in a personal meeting. You know, where are you from? Where did you work? What are your hobbies? And find that commonality as you build new relationships. So I really think there's two sets of facts. There's the existing relationships and the new and emerging relationships. And I think we have to help people understand that those are different and really talk about the skills that are necessary in those building new relationships. I think there's another aspect of the profession in this environment, and that is the agility and speed issue. And clearly, we're in a world in which change has, you know, the timeline for change has truncated, and technology is not slowing down as far as its implications. But I think it's very important for the people in our profession to realize that we were not pre-COVID-19 in this static environment. We were not in this sort of environment in which technology wasn't changing how essentially every service and every function of the profession was really being designed. We were already in that environment. And so when you think about adjusting to a new world, to a large degree, our profession's embracing of that gives us collectively a head start in that environment. Because it wasn't a static environment to begin with, we're going through rapid change, even, you know, more rapid than what we anticipated. And it's certainly not going to be static on the other end. And so we can build that into our expectations. And when we do, it's a lot less threatening.
Again, that was Barry Melanson, CEO of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. Up next is Joel Bailey of EY Seren. He takes us deeper into the why and the what of the Human Signals Report's research. Here's that conversation. Now joined by Joel Bailey from EY Seren on the podcast. Joel, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me along.
Regarding the Human Signals Report, why did you focus on what you did with the research?
Well, we go back to about the 16th of March when the coronavirus was kind of making its steady way across the world towards us. And I spoke with some of the partners in our business and made a case for some research to understand how this was going to change human behavior, because it's going to be a huge global experiment in human behavior. And we very quickly mobilized a team of people, just a small team, and we set them to research across different types of different methods of research to understand what was coming. And then every 3 weeks, we've been putting out a report to our communities, AICPA Association and others, to give our insights as to what we're learning. So it's been quite a fast moving project, but absolutely fascinating. I'm looking forward to sharing some of that with you.
Yeah, and some of that sharing will include the 7 insights in the report. Can you walk us quickly through each of those?
Sure, yeah. So obviously, take a look at the report. It's pretty dense. There's a lot of material there. I'll kind of take you through quickly. There's 3 main areas that we have focused on for the association. And because there are some quite serious implications here, and every organization globally is having to respond, but the association has its own requirements and its own needs and its own shifts coming. So we've tried to profile those. The first one is how the face of community is changing. Now, clearly the association is a large community organization, relies on its members and supports those members in many ways. But how is community changing? And how can we look at the coronavirus as a trigger in that change? So I'm going to talk through two or three themes there. The second one is how learning, which is obviously a big part of member goals, which is continued professional development or becoming an expert in a certain domain, that whole world of learning has changed overnight. And we knew it was changing already, but that acceleration, what has that brought about? What's the change there? And then the third one is around purpose. Never before has purpose been more important. And often before profit, increasingly. And COVID has just brought people together to focus on new things. And I want to talk about a couple of areas there. So those are our 3 main areas. And I'm going to dive into the first one, and then I'll take a few minutes on each. So let's go back to the face of community and how it's changing. So if I take 3 points of view on that, the first one is this kind of lost sense of belonging. Now, we all join communities in order to belong. And one thing that COVID and the associated lockdown periods have brought about is this kind of loss. Everybody has lost something. And it can be all the way from a loved one, which is a terrible tragedy and happening all too frequently at the moment. But also it could be a loss of a role, it could be a loss of a community, a tangible community. So we've looked at a lot at loss psychology and how that works. And we had the team look at secondary research from academics, but also we've done diary studies with people out in the field. So people who are living their lives have let us look into those lives via WhatsApp in a remote, secure way, and have told us about their feelings of loss. And what we discovered was that it really matters in 2 ways. So do you have access to resources? Can you recover from loss? If you do have access to resources, which could be financial resources, it could be information resources or a network of friends who can support your family. And obviously, if you don't have those things, you're less likely to be able to recover from loss. But actually, the big thing that came out that people really haven't recognized is the capacity to recover from loss. So what we found is that some people might have all the resources in the world, but if they are in a position where they don't believe they can control their future, and that is the key question, then they won't be able to make use of those resources. And what we're often finding whenever we speak to anyone in our community about this, they really identify with this. They say that people who are at this low capacity for change at that end of the spectrum are really struggling and need a lot of help from their community and from organizations like the association, because they need to feel like they belong and they need to feel like the community they're a part of is helping them to rebuild their capacity to change, which I think is a really important idea for the association. How do we help members to rebuild their capacity to change? Because I'll be honest, we're in a world of continued adaptation, and I'm going to come on to that again in a moment. The second one is around reinvention of work practices, right? So this one is, again, another way about around community changing. Clearly, a lot of our communities were physical. We used to meet people, a lot of networking through events, through workplaces. And what we've seen clearly is this enormous experiment in isolated work. I don't really like calling it remote working or working from home yet, because it's not really that yet. It's still an isolated work experiment. And for some people, it's a gift, right? It means I don't have to commute. I'm one of those, right? I'm lucky. I quite enjoy the fact that I don't have to commute anymore for 2 hours a day. But for others who are physically located in an environment that doesn't allow them to work from home well, it's creating all sorts of new tensions. And actually, what we're finding is it's really useful to segment people based on these things. So what is their physical situation? And then the second criteria is, what is their psychological preference? So are they an introvert or an extrovert? There's been a lot more talk about this over the years, and it's now coming to stark light, right? So that the introverts kind of like being working from home. The extroverts really struggling. They need to be exposed to people. They get their energy from people. So how do we create that dynamic in this new place? The third one, then, in terms of losing a sense of community, is this polarization of communities. Now, one of the things that COVID has demonstrated through the data is that if you're from an ethnic minority or a black community or you're female, you are going to be disproportionately affected by this crisis. And that's brought about and really added sort of tinder to the flames of the social justice movement that we're seeing worldwide. And we looked into this and we explored how some of the social media algorithms kind of draw people to extremes. And in a community, this is really important. The fact that we are getting more polarized and that we're not seeing a shared view and getting a shared perspective on things. And I think what this really brings back is, if we want to kind of restore community, we have to be very clear about the world we're living in and how community is being damaged. And it really comes back to the integrity and the purpose of the community. And I'm going to come on to that in a moment. So there's three ways that we think community is changing. Let's talk for a couple of minutes about how learning is changing. This is definitely the case. Anyone who was born 1985, thereabouts, has grown up in an era of crisis, of continual change, right? If it wasn't the 2008 crisis, if it wasn't some form of democratic crisis or some form of social justice crisis and a backdrop of climate crisis, there is a sense of continual change, more so than perhaps the stable post-war years. And that is creating a dynamic of, I can no longer just stay the same. Organizations have been awake to this for a while. I need to be agile. I need to keep changing. But for individuals, this need to continually adapt is not just what I learn, but how I learn. And the fact that I need to continually shift my modes of learning. And right now, clearly, moving to online learning and those sorts of things is creating demands on people that they didn't have before. So younger generations may be more comfortable, their older generations need more help with these new ways of learning. And I think what we're looking to do with all of our clients is, how do you help your users, your members, your customers to adapt and continually adapt? That means your service has to adapt for them. And that's a really important point, because a lot of services have been built based on static needs. Now it's very variable. One more point on this one, this change of learning, is everyone talks about the new normal. The point we're raising here is there will be a million new normals, because one thing that digital has always done in every wave of change is it has radically personalized the world. Everybody is able to personalize through digital. And COVID, if nothing else, has driven and accelerated digital to new levels. So from a learning point of view, what we're expecting to see is a million new normals that people, and if you remember the graphic equalizers of old on our old hi-fis, they'll be able to kind of like adjust everything in their world to the things they want. So I think the idea that we're going to go from one shared new normal to one new shared new normal is probably gone. It's going to be much more diverse. So how does that work for learning? Well, people are going to need to be able to adjust and do a bit of face-to-face and a bit of online and mix it up, right, according to their preferences, which creates different challenges for organizations that provide learning. Right, last points here now, okay? A lot of the points I've already been mentioning, they all anchor down onto purpose. So let's talk through what we mean by purpose. For me, it's about profit has always been the driver, and what COVID brought about was an understanding that we are all connected in these very complicated ways, and that you can't just have a binary economic view on the world. Now, obviously, for an accountancy profession, that kind of challenges some of the dynamics of what we do as an industry, because we are there to support organizations that work in that environment. So how do we bring purpose to play alongside profit? Now, we've looked at this in two ways. The first one is around daily dissonance. And this is the fact that we as professionals, everybody is trying to be two things at once during this crisis. So at the same, at one point, we're trying to be engaged, energetic workers. But in our home time, we're probably kind of trapped and slightly low energy. There's a lot of evidence of that. We're trying to consult and help our clients to be and be professional accountants and help them to grow and make profit as organizations. But at the same time, we're having conversations with our children about how a profit-driven world is destroying nature. So we have this dissonance continually. And I think this is really important if we look ourselves as individuals or as leaders, or we think about our relationship with clients. Who are we choosing to be? Like who are we? What is COVID making us think about ourselves, and how do we need to adapt, and how do we need to present ourselves to the world? And that's a very individual choice for people. Final point now, new purpose in service. This was the first insight that came out of our entire project, and we've had about 25 insights overall over 3 months. But this was the very first one, because what we saw in the first weeks of the crisis was this profound shift of everybody worrying about themselves before the crisis, as we tend to do in life, to suddenly asking, how can I help? Across the board, leaders were saying to the front line, how can I help? Neighbors were saying to each other, how can I help? Volunteers were signing up to help at health in hospitals and social care. And this profound outpouring, it's kind of waning now, but what everybody realized in all our interviews with leaders over this, because we did do about 32 expert interviews and client interviews, was this, that is the thing that we want to bottle, this sense of purpose in serving others, serving other members, serving a community. Because when you have that, it's an intrinsic motivator to do the right thing by the other person, whether it's a client or whether it's a colleague. And this is the thing that everybody keeps returning to. And I hope that we can find ways to retain, because an organization like the Association is a purpose-driven organization. It has a very clear purpose. And right now, I think this is a great opportunity to renew that focus. And there's a sense that people are hungry for that. So I think, taken in the broadest sense, you know, looking at how community is changing, the speed and change around learning, and how we need to put purpose and value over profit, these are the main points I think that are really relevant to the members who are hopefully listening to this today.
Anything you'd like to add in closing?
Yeah, I think what's been most fascinating, it's been a real privilege to research this and to work with the Association and understand how this affects members, because it is profound and I think it is important. But one of the main reflections is the power of doing this sort of rapid research and doing different types of research. I mean, I think we're all used to doing surveys. We're all used to looking at data inside our businesses. But we spent time sitting with customers, talking to them for an hour. They let us into their lives. And that's where a lot of this insight has come from. That and doing a huge amount of reading by academics, by journalists, to really get a full view of this. And doing that in this kind of agile way, what I mean by that is, like, every few days we were kind of saying to each other as a team, what have we learned? What else do we need to go out and learn? And we were very adaptive. And I think all organizations have realized that they need to become learning organizations because of this. The world has changed, and the only way to deal with that change is to be able to learn faster and respond faster. And then that's my world. I'm an agile research and design practitioner. That's what I do. So for me, no one wants to find the bright side of a crisis like this, but there is an opportunity for organizations to embrace techniques like this, to get closer to customers and to members, and to use that to rethink very quickly, what are we trying to do here? How can we help? How can we adapt the organization? And I'm really excited about that. And so are lots of other organizations. And my conversations with individuals in the Association, it chimes with them that we want to be more responsive to members. So I guess my parting thought is, you know, research isn't a dusty thing that's done in a corner. It's part of the lifeblood of the organization to really understand what's going on in the world and a way of making better business, faster business decisions. So I hope that's come through. It's really exciting for me.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered, and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.